And this week we've got the big name in Taylor Walker. And Taylor Walker is 33. He's getting on. You're getting on, big fella. He's played 258 league games for Adelaide. What a great effort. He's kicked 601 goals at an average of 2.3 goals a match. Six Adelaide leading goal kicker awards. Adelaide captain from 2015 to 2019. Showdown medal. What a great game he played in that match, beating Ports. And me being a Crows supporter, I was elated.
It was a magical experience.
Yeah, Showdown medal 2023. And one thing I will say about Taylor that a lot of people say rave on about his footy ability, but he's a broken little ambassador in Adelaide. And I say that with great passion because he's a caring person. Whenever I took combined sides away, I played at Amy Stadium and we trained at Albert and Oval before the matches because we were sort of sponsored by Port Power at that stage, early days. Taylor would be there. Taylor would be at training. Taylor would be at the game if he was able to. He'd be in the rooms if he was able to. And we thank him for that. And welcome, Taylor.
Thanks, boys. Thank you very much. Good to be on.
Good to have you, mate. Been trying to a while to get you. I know one of your good mates, Jaden Kelly, would be terribly jealous. I've been trying to get Kel on for several weeks, and he's always got excuses like, I've got to do my hair sprinkles Saturday mornings, or put some makeup on, or I've got Nivea cream to rub into my face. So he'll be pretty peeved off this morning when he knows you're on.
Well, when you've won seven Lionel Johnson's, Spriggy, you're probably a pretty busy man. So
the father of two,
he's probably quite busy as well with his two kids. So
yeah, he said that to me actually, mate. He said, "I said, how come you haven't ring me back?" He said, "Well, when you win seven medals, I'm really busy polishing them."
So I'm sure he would be signing autographs and having photos with all the kids, Spriggy.
Yeah, true, mate. Well, let's go back to Rural Star from Broken Hill, and I can remember, I think your first game out the Elmer, I was sitting up in the time box at the Elmer, and you stood Matt Taylor Barry at full back, and I think you were 14, a skinny little fella, and now you've developed into, 6'4" and 110 or 12 kilos. So, can you remember that match?
Oh, I remember bits and pieces when I went back to play on Matt Taylor Barry for sure. Yeah, he's a pretty big fella, and he still is to this day. So it's one of those things that when you're playing, learning your craft and learning your position, you do get thrown around a bit. Obviously, I played forward most of my life, but sometimes you need a bit of a circuit breaker when your form's not up to scratch, that they change your position. And I went down to have a look, and it's probably my first and last ever time I played there, Spriggum. I always say to the young defenders that come into our footy club, if you don't want to play defence, let them kick goals on you so you don't have to play there forever. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
I certainly do remember that day out at the Armour.
Yeah, it was more of a match-up, wasn't it, with height and so forth to young Taylor Barry. But a lot of people, there would be people that know, there could be some Adelaide listeners knowing that your father won four Middleton medals. And also your grandfather played for South, Jack Walker. He was a full forward for South way back, and I think he was a captain of South.
Yeah, Pa Jack played for South. I used to call him Gummer.
Gummer Walker.
He was a forward as well. When he took a mark and he was having a shot for goal, he used to pull his chewing gum out of his mouth and stick it behind his ear so he could have his shot on goal. So, that's a little bit of footy history in my family. Obviously, Dad was pretty good, little nuggety midfielder that won. I think he won four Middleton medals. Obviously, he was at Central and then got the coaching role at North, and he made his way over to coach and play at North. So, my uncle David played at North. My brother played at North. I played at North. My sister. So, yeah, we're true blue Northies for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And your dad won, I think, two medals at Centrals and two medals at North. And I went across, I didn't go, I left West to go with your father in 85 as his assistant. So your father played he was playing coach for Central, and I sat on the bench and made the moves until such time as Don Foster, who was the reserves coach, lost his leg underground in a mining accident, and I coached the reserves and I'd coach the reserves and quickly run back out and sit on the bench and coach for your father off the bench. And, you know, all those years I was with your dad, 3 years, we never had a cross word. We got on really, really well as senior coach, assistant coach. And one time I think John Kinnear chatted me that I was doing too much of the coaching, and Wayne was getting X amount of payments and he should have been doing more. But he trusted me, and I mean, you know, and had to share the load, especially when you're playing. But, yeah, so influences when you're in Broken Hill, obviously Dale Tonkin and your junior coaches?
Yeah, obviously I had a lot of great coaches through my junior footy. Marshall Kelly and Pete Garrick were probably two coaches that I had for most of the time. And Dale Tonkin, he was helping out through rep footy. We went and played for some state footy in Griffith and places like that, and then obviously going up through the grades, I got to be coached by Michael McCulley in 07 when we won the flag. So there's some, I've probably missed a few along the way, but there's some coaches that we had which were quite significant in my growth and development as a young kid.
I have a question for Dale, mate, while on the particular subject of Dale Tonkin. He's a busy man too because he's an actor now. He's recently done some acting in the Royal Flying Doctor miniseries, and he's had quite a few offers since that particular stardom. But he does say, I heard one day when you were away playing a rep game, Taylor, you broke your toe and was still awarded the Player of the Carnival. Would you like to tell the listeners about that?
Well, that was, I think we're at the under 16 carnival. There was a few of us that went. I reckon it was myself, Anthony Henderson, Blake Clare. I reckon Timmy Hunter went. I'm not too sure exactly who else went. We played a carnival in Griffith, and yeah, well, I think we played one or two games. I'm not sure. It was at night, and we were in the rooms, and we had our towels and we were whipping each other as young kids do, a bit of fun and stupidity. But I think I'd got Dale Tonkin right on the backside and he flew off from the bed to try and chase me, and I went to run out the room, and as I was running out, a bit of karma hit me right in the face. I kicked me little toe on the doorway on the way out, and I dropped like a bag of spuds, Sprigger, and it happened to be that I broke my little toe and couldn't continue the carnival. We had a couple more games post that, which I wasn't able to play, and that was the same week, and that Mark Ross and James Fantasia were over in Griffith for that, doing some scouting for the Adelaide Crows, and that was the weekend that they spotted me and decided to put me on as a scholarship participant. So yeah, all those years ago, I think we were about 15, 16 at the time.
Yeah, all good times, mate, you can look back on. Then of course, you went to Norwood. When you went to Adelaide, it wasn't all cups to turn easy stuff for you. You went to Norwood, and then it took a little while to graduate into the Adelaide Crows, didn't it?
Yeah, I got drafted in 07-08, and that was back when the Adelaide Crows didn't have an SANFL side. So what the process was, that if there was, you know, Crows had five draft picks, then Port had five draft picks, those 10 kids went into a pool, and it was like a mini draft again to go to a sample club, which was good fun. It was great for my development. I really enjoyed going and playing at Norwood. I was lucky to get picked up by Norwood, and once again there was a bit of an affiliation there with my family. My dad played some reserves footy out at Norwood, and I played, I think, 30 or 40 games there through my first two or three years when I was in and out of the Adelaide Footy Club side. And, you know, Craigie was massive on and just embracing your sample side, and doesn't matter whether the Crows drafted you as a midfielder, forward or back, you go and play whatever position they have for you at your sample side. So, yeah, it was a great period of time, and one I look back and feel very grateful for, that I was able to play at the sample level, because it was pretty good footy back then, all those years, 15, 16 years ago. So, yeah, I was very grateful for that.
Yeah, I heard Wayne Carey comment about SANFL football, about, you know, Steve Minnis was at the North Old Timers, and he'd played SNF football for South Adelaide and quite a few other players, Rod Kirsten. And going back in the 70s, as Kerry mentioned, you know, SNFL football, I know it was before your time, was equivalent to VFL football, you know. So SNFL footy's always been pretty strong. And like Stewie Bowen, he played over 200 matches for Norwood as well.
Yeah, I think it's still the second strongest competition outside the AFL. I think it's stronger than the VFL and Waffle for sure. So we're very lucky to be able to now have our own crow side in the SANFL, and the boys have a great program under our footy club. But yeah, I still think it's quite a strong affiliation and strong standard of footy at SANFL level.
Yeah, Tails, going ball, mate. How you doing?
G'day, Bally. How are you, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Tails, if I can, I've got a couple of tricky ones here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted in 2007. Mm-hmm. If we can go back to probably 2009, 10 or 11, you were fairly big in Adelaide at the time. This is well before the captaincy, of course, as well. But, I mean, your name, your face, you were everywhere in Adelaide. You could have stood for Premier of South Australia and won it in a landslide. That's how popular you were. It was like Tex Mania at the time. I mean, radio, TV, ads, print media. Taylor Walker was everywhere. How did you handle all that attention at the time?
Oh, I'm not sure I was that big, Paulie.
Mate, I had to turn the radio off one trip. It was that got to me.
Yeah, you probably got sick of me because you used to live, well, you still do live next door to my
mum. I'm still getting toilet paper off my house, mate.
I was going to say, you probably get sick of it when you see me and then I come back and I'm right next door to you. But that's all part of it, Bully, to be honest. You know, you think that when you get drafted, it's all about how you perform on game day, which is so true, but there's so much more to it in what we do, you know. Your ability to go to clinics and help teach young kids, get out to grassroots footy, to go to hospitals and help people that are sick, or go to nursing homes and help people that are elderly. And you know, you walk down the street and we've all been a young kid at a period of time where you see someone that you look up to or they're your idol. So to be able to give someone else your time, which is a massive thing for other people, I think it's such an easy thing to do. Which is, I think it's always been part of what I do, and obviously on-field's the number one priority, but also the ability to grow the game and help others and give someone else your time.
Tails, you took over the captaincy in 2015, and looking from the outside in, it just looks like you took to the job like a fish to water. It was something that was meant to be, and it was probably great for both parties, for you and the club.
Yeah, well, considering I've never been a skipper of a footy club or any sort of sporting environment when I was a young kid, it was a no answer at the start when Phil Walsh asked me about it. But the more I spoke to a few people that I loved and trusted, the more it became obvious that I had to give it a go. And it was a period of time that I really enjoyed. You know, took a little bit of time to find my feet, to get an understanding of how I wanted to lead. And yeah, I look back now and I wouldn't change it for anything. It was a great period of time, and you know, we got to a grand final, obviously lost that, but I was able to feel like I was able to show some genuine care to teammates and understand what made them tick to get them to perform on game day. Obviously I'm a pretty honest sort of guy, so I was the ability to give and take feedback and all of that. So yeah, it was a great period of time that's probably helped shape me in the person I am today.
Taylor, just on an individual note, you're a three-time All-Australian nominee. 2023, do you think about it much? Is this probably your best shot to be All-Australian?
I got asked this the other day, boy. I find it hard to challenge each year and compare them, but in terms of output, you look at what I've been able to do on the scoreboard. Obviously I've now kicked the most goals I've ever had in a season, and it's in a young team that's able to play some good footy. So it'd probably be up there with my top two or three seasons for sure.
You have a look back mid-season, you played your 250th game, 10 goals. You couldn't have scripted any better, especially with family and friends there to watch on. Currently sitting on 35th position on the goalkeepers list. That's a tremendous performance from a kid from Broken Hill.
Yeah, well, it helps when you've got a good neighbour bowler that used to throw the ball back every 30 seconds when I was having shots at the fence and
well,
things like that. So
the
all
fence
those
is lucky to be standing.
Yeah, well, it is half hanging up, isn't it? Half hanging over. But, mate, yeah, it's a nice little accolade to have. And, you know, you've got to... I always say it's probably something I look back at the end of my career, but the closer I get to the end of my career, the more I think you got to enjoy it while you can. So some of these milestones... you got to just be grateful and enjoy the actual moment. Probably not so much at the end of your career, but cause I think the older you get, the better you used to be. So it's going to be pretty sad when I finish, because it's been a massive part of my life. But yeah, it's been a great journey so far, and the boys are playing some good footy. So it's been nice to be able to get on the end of a few of those.
Tex, it's Patrick Reinke here, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, Pat. How are you, mate?
Oh, fantastic. Lifelong dream to speak to yourself, actually. But you mentioned, you've got most goals you've ever kicked in an AFL season, sitting at 65, I believe it is. Have you given much consideration to, the Coleman medal? You're five behind Curnow with two games in hand with another West Coast match to come. Do thoughts like that cross your mind, or is it more about the team effort and trying to get to the top eight?
Well, you've probably met some of my mates from home, mate. They remind me quite regularly, and a few boys down here remind me quite regularly, so I understand it's getting pretty close for that. But you know, that'd be something that'd be nice to win, but if I don't, that's okay as well. You know, we've got a massive game tonight against Sydney, and it's an elimination final for us. If we lose, our final series is done. If we win, it keeps us alive, and we get to go over to Perth and hopefully knock them off. And if we can win our last two games, it gives us a great chance to play finals. And I'd imagine there wouldn't be too many teams that want to come up against us. Our record against the top four sides this year has been outstanding. Obviously, we haven't been able to get it done for every game, but we've been able to push, you know, Brisbane, Melbourne, Collingwood, and beat Port a couple of times. So we know our best footy holds up against the good sides.
And just more back on a personal matter for yourself as well. 3 years ago, I think the media was on your case about, does he play on? Is he sort of losing a step? Is he a bit behind the pace of the game? And then 3 years on, it's 2023, second in the Coleman, playing some of your better football and signed on for another year. Sort of how do you handle when the media scrutiny, we talk about Bawley, how you were everywhere in Adelaide in the early years, but then the media can kind of turn on you and question your future in the AFL. How do you handle that sort of pressure, and what sort of made you over the past 3 years kick back into this absolute career best form?
Well, at the end of 2020, the COVID year, I actually thought I was done. My right knee was causing me quite a bit of grief, where I was playing with a lot of discomfort, and you know, I wasn't able to perform like I wanted to, so we had to change a few things up, and I was able to do that. We got a great strength and conditioning coach in Josh Manuel. He came in and changed my program a little bit, and over time we were able to gradually get some better strength through my knee, and get it pain free, which was enabling me to train more consistently. And we know when you train well, or train as a matter of fact, you can give yourself a good opportunity to perform. So that's what we did, and I was just probably going, and I still to this day go, you know, we went to Brisbane last week. I walk around the Gabba and think, it probably might be my last chance to play here. And I do that for every ground, you know. I'm quite grateful for the fact that I'm able to do this for a job. And I don't know when my last game's going to be, so I'm just embracing the opportunity to play footy at the highest level, and no matter where it be or who it's against, just enjoy the moment. And it's been working for me for the last 3 years.
And just one more question before I hand you back to Bawley and Sprigger. Obviously, you've had a very illustrious career so far, and obviously still got a ways to go. But looking back on all your years in the AFL, I'll put you on the spot. Who's the best player you've had a chance to play with, and who's the best player you've had to play against?
Well, against the Buddy Franklin just retiring was quite upsetting. He's one of my favourite. He's in my top three favourite players, so he's the best one I've probably played against. and played with. Probably, you got Dangerfield. He was a freak. Like some of the things he was able to do, you know, with three guys sitting on his back to be able to break out of stoppage, he was pretty good. And obviously, what Eddie Betts was able to do when he came over to our footy club was pretty special as well. So I played with some pretty awesome players over my period of time.
Yeah, Tails, just to finish off for me, we have a look at 2012. You kicked 63 goals in 19 games. This year you've got 65. Where do you rate those two seasons? Or this season in 2012?
Oh, they're probably quite similar, Bobby, to be honest. Our team was a little bit more successful in 2012, was it? 13?
12,
yeah. Yeah, we're able to play some finals footy. Hopefully we can replicate that this year. But, yeah, they're probably very similar, to be honest, in terms of pure numbers. But as a team, we were probably a little bit more successful in 2012, so hopefully we can do that again and win tonight.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, just another question from a bloke you'd most likely know this is, and he said, out of all the Crows players, who's got the biggest pause bench press in the club?
Or who's got the biggest bench press? Ooh, probably would have been James Potsiadli when he came over. He was a massive dude. Ivan Maric was quite big as well when he was still here. And currently the biggest bench press would be Riley O'Brien or Nick Murray.
Oh, okay. And so how many kilos?
Ooh, I reckon that'd go about 145, 150.
Yeah, so it's over 300 pounds. Yeah, I'm a great advocate for strength training for football. Some people aren't, but I think, you know, it's been proven over the years the fittest, strongest side always seems to beat the other side that hasn't got that level. So your strength training has helped you this year, but we spoke off air, mate, you know, and one of the big things that's helped you this year is the little lovely family you've got. You know, you've got two boys now and a little girl and a lovely wife, so that has made you content and happy for always to come home to someone lovely like that.
Yeah, oh, mate, I love it. I love it. It's the best part of life is being a parent and being a dad. And, you know, he'll be 4 in November. Louis will be 3 in January. And little Harriet, she's just gone 9 months. So, yeah, obviously it has its challenges throughout the period of time. But the enjoyment that I get when I come home from footy training to see my little kids and they run outside because they hear the gate open and, yeah. You know, my middle child, Louis, he always asks me, how was your day, Dad? it's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I get to go outside and kick the footy or we get to shoot the basketball or we get to dig holes. So all of that's really, really helped me play good footy, I suppose. And I just love it to bits. And, yeah, there's three beautiful kids and I've got a beautiful wife who's very supportive as well, Jeez, we'll be pretty stuffed without her, Springer. I reckon pretty much holds up the household, so we're very lucky to have
They are beauties, mate. You know, I had one myself and your mother on the same thing with you, and obviously still does your mother. But, you know, what they're doing basically is preparing you for after footy now, aren't they? So, you know, they're preparing you for after footy. When you've finished your footy, there they are. So it's your time with them then, whether it be coaching or going to watch them, whatever they may be doing, educating them, you know, being with them, yeah.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being a parent, Sprigger. They're a product of their environment and what Ellie and myself are able to teach them and tell them what to do. You sort of start to see them. Their little brains tick over and they make their decisions and choices off the back of what mum and dad are able to teach them. So, it's a beautiful, beautiful little thing to be able to have kids and we're very lucky to be parents. So.
Yeah, a wise man said to me once, you know, when you've got a child and they're born, you're like a stick against a tree. You're the stick and you're holding them up, you're supporting them. And as they get older, you pull the stick away and you start throwing a bit of fertiliser on them, you know. And that's the way it is, you know. Even when you get older, you still sprinkle a bit of fertiliser on as Patrick's mother and father will be throwing a bit on him. And
as I'm 28, Sprigger.
No, they still do. You'll be listening to your mum and dad.
They're in town this weekend. They're listening as we speak.
That's great. Love to have them. But just one more question, mate, before I let you go. I know you've got your mind on the match and coming up, but great improvement in the Adelaide Crows. Can you tell me some of the philosophies your coach has when you've got the ball? That's called offence. When the opposition's got it, that's called defence. When it's in dispute, that's in dispute. So a good coach told me once, Springer, when you lose possession of the ball, you got to count to three. What are you going to do in 3 seconds? Are you going to go and man up? Are you going to go and shepherd? Just don't stand there as though you're having a cup of tea. But in those 3 seconds can mean a huge difference. And, of course, the last aspect or part of the game is the umpires have it where you got to shut your mouth. But can you give us a bit of an example in those three areas, what your coach gets you to do, and obviously how that's helped with you improving? Because I love watching you play.
If you sit down and watch tonight's game, it's going to be won or lost to midfield. We talk about our ability to win first possession. We call it contested footy. So if we can win our hands on the ball through stoppage, through centre bounce, that'll give us a great opportunity to play front half footy. We try and play it in our front half to be able to press the game. We like to press the game as a footy club. We're not a team that likes to sit back and slingshot from defence. We want to get into our forward half and keep it in there. So Sydney are very, very good from their defensive 50 in transitioning the ball to their forward 50 in scoring. I think they're number two in the competition in doing so. So, yeah, we also talk about pre-click, Springer, which is in defence, our ability to pre-click, and if you can't impact the contest ahead of the game, what are you doing in defence? So that's our ability for our wings to get on their man, our half-backs to get up and get on their man and be able to keep the ball in our front half. So, and then when we get the ball back, we want to test the opposition. We talk about the position you are on the field. If you're in day 50, it's probably a little bit less risk. We talk about sort of swimming between the flags. You don't want to rip one up the middle if it's quite risky, but we like to kick down the line and go to a contest because we know our forwards are very, very good for one-on-one contests. But also, if we can test the opposition out, we like to take it off the line and really attack the last line, which is their defence. So it's going to be a cracking game tonight, and hopefully if we can win our fair share of footy through the midfield, it's going to give us a great opportunity ahead of the ball to compete and kick a score.
Yeah, thank you, mate. And wish you all the best tonight, and wish you all the best, the whole lot of us, for you and your family, for the future. You've been a great ambassador to Broken Hill, not only in football, all aspects of life, and thank you for talking to us this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Bye, mate.